Hold on. That wasn't satisfying. Give it a second.
Yeah, you were expecting a bigger pop on that, weren't you?
Okay.
It's not a champagne bottle of champagne.
No. All right, give me a second.
This is all staying in.
Is this staying? Gordon, you can't start it out like this.
This is what the people love.
All right, give me a second. Welcome to Off the Cut episode 111, also known as 111. For Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. And of course, as always, we have to civically tell you, do our civic duty, that the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify is the Green Suiters podcast. But, Zach, best place to buy tools.
KM Tools. That beat you to it. Nice try, but you had to get up a little earlier in the morning if you want to beat me to the ad read.
Well, you know, I can tell you this, though, Zach. KM Tools is for woodworkers by woodworkers. And yes, their official slogan is, if it's in their store, it's in their shop. But I know you have a different slogan that you like better.
Yeah. If it's in their shop, it's in their shop. It's confusing and it's kind of disorienting when you say it. And that's why Jonathan hates when I say that every episode.
Right. But, you know, it's still good publicity. All publicity is good publicity.
That's right. That's
right. But even better publicity is that a portion of all of the sales of KM Tools go directly towards the Cass Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund that gets tools and resources into the hands of folks who need it most.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a mouthful.
And speaking of folks who need it most, he also gives a $50 gift card to our patrons each and every month.
Yes, yes, he does. So if you want to get your hands on that $50 gift card that we give away every month, like Zach said, all you got to do is go over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, sign up for any level tier, and you're supporting us, and you're getting the chance to win that gift card, as well as many, many other perks.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking while you were reading that, next time we have Jonathan on the show, we should do the ad read, but do it all just slightly wrong. Like, I'll say the thing. Like, if it's in their shop, it's in their shop. And then you can say the Jonathan Katz Moses wood charity for, I don't know, it's like
kids lost who can't cats read good.
Yeah, kids who can't read good or something like that. Yeah. And we'll just see how wrong we can get it before he interrupts us.
KMTools.net. /panhandling. I don't know.
Exactly.
Well,
.ca.
Well, let's elephant in the room here for anybody listening.
Sure.
I guess people live are probably confused as all hell. People listening to this when it comes out on Saturday are none the wiser. Our title on the live show right now says that we're going to have Vic from the Stump Shop. He's not here. He said he had surgery today and was like, yeah, no problem. I can come in right after surgery and do the show. And we're like, okay.
Bring him in on a wheelchair.
We don't want to pry into people's business and be like, dude, what's the surgery, right? So then he messaged us like a couple hours ago and was like, yeah, guys, I'm not going to be able to do it. So hang tight. He will be on the show April 30th?
Yeah. Which is 2 weeks from now, I believe. Two episodes from now.
Yeah. So we've got. He didn't have another surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully this one sticks.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not making jokes about something that's really serious.
He treated it so nonchalantly, I have to assume it's something small and inconsequential.
Yeah. Maybe he has to replace his eardrums after listening to the Green Suiters podcast.
Maybe. Mm. Potentially.
You never know.
I did hear that the For the Gram was coming back with some more episodes, so maybe he went in for a little beauty touch-up.
Maybe he's just getting his vocal cords touched up so that he can, you know, really present when they bring back For the Gram.
Yeah. You know, I've actually thought about that.
What
would you do, hypothetical situation?
Calf implants.
Giant calf implants.
Dude, we've talked about this. Miranda and I have had this conversation. there's an elective surgery which she's interested in getting. And I said, if you do that, I'm getting calf implants.
Okay, calf implants. You know, like, I know people like to be like, oh, you should not get surgery and you should love yourself for the way you are and blah, 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 blah. But it's also like 2024. If you have something about you that like physically bothers you and you haven't got, you know, you're in your adulthood and it still bothers you, just go get it fixed. Like, you know, if it's within your means, like, I don't think there should be any shame about, you know, doing elective surgeries and stuff like that.
I think we should start a fun run for people like us who have extraordinarily small calves and ankles.
That's true. That's true. It affects
ironically
9 out of 10 men.
Yeah. Michael Scott, fun run race for the cure for rabies or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we could get a lot of people there. I mean, you know, I got a buddy. He doesn't listen to this. His name's Austin. He is so ashamed of how small his calves and ankles are that he won't wear shorts, man. It's epidemic. I swear to God. He won't wear shorts, especially to the gym. He doesn't want the ladies looking at how small his legs are.
I wonder if the ladies even care.
That's not husband material.
I think calves is one of these things that guys get more obsessed about than women. Like, I've never heard a woman say, like, oh, look at that guy's calves.
Yeah.
But I've heard multiple guys say they're insecure about their calves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who has really nice calves?
Our new patrons?
No, that would have been a really good
segue. That
would
have been a sick transition.
Well, let's back up a minute. You know who does have really good calves?
Who's that?
All of our returning top tier patrons.
Oh, yeah. Great calves on those guys.
Yeah. Which includes... I bet Jonathan does have good calves.
Oh yeah,
he seems like he seems like a big calf guy.
I heard he trained Chuck Norris to have good calves.
There you go.
That's possible.
I can believe it. I can believe it.
And he is in Santa Barbara, so you know that's not too far away from, you know, all the entertainment industry.
And if you're gonna be spending a lot of time on the beach, you got to have nice calves and ankles.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. Well, some of the folks that I know have fantastic calves. Joe Welsh, Delaware Valley Workshop. I've seen him lather those bad boys up with butter. Goblin Spanker, haven't seen him in person.
But he sends pictures on the Patreon.
Yeah. You know, Dan Armendrez. Now, Dan, I haven't seen your calves, but I've seen your face. And based on your face, that guy has some good calves.
You know what? I've seen his vertical hop, and to have a vertical hop like that, you have to have nice calves.
Yeah.
Must have. Yeah.
He actually, he was the first person in his family to ever be able to dunk on a regulation hoop.
That's right. That's right. Tells that story a lot.
Corey Duvall. Now, I've seen Corey's calves. His are what I would say, you're not expecting anything, and then like you look down, and it's just like, whoa, right? It's, you know. Not expecting. Secret calves. Of course we have Dadu. We know Dadu's probably got the best Canadian calves of all of our patrons.
It's definitely not me, so.
No. And Josh at Sawdust Builds. Josh has been building his calves on the police force for years now. I've never seen a policeman with lackluster calves. Have you?
No, because they're patrolling all the time.
Right. No, I'm not especially being funny. I'm being dead serious.
No, I am too.
Yeah.
I've never seen a cop with bad calves. You gotta chase down perps. Makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe we gotta quit this and become policemen.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like calf influencers.
Cattlemen.
Calf influencers. I bet that's a real thing.
Oh, for sure it is. You're telling me there must be a guy out there who specializes in like calf exercises and stuff.
It's just an Instagram full of calves.
Yeah. Actually, I think Vic from Stump Shop has a secondary Instagram that's just called Vic's Calves.
That's true. He does. I think it's on OnlyFans.
I'm going to have to ask him about that. I'm going to write that down. Vic's Calves. Well, anyway, those are just some of the folks who are supporting the show on Patreon. Getting access to the after show, Discord server, all kinds of stuff, you know, those gift cards every month, then head over there if you want to basically double your podcasting pleasure and not support the Green Suitors podcast. That's the number one benefit.
Heck yeah.
With the caffeine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think we owe everybody, before we get started, we owe everyone a public service announcement. Oh, if you're listening to this and you haven't paid your taxes yet, you're late and you're going to jail. So,
yeah.
Moving on.
Hide.
Unless you're Canadian. Canadians, I think, have until April 30th.
Oh, really?
31st, whatever it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I sent everything to my accountant, and she hasn't got it back to me yet, so we'll see.
Right.
How Canadian? It's due on the 7th, on the 15th, but you have till the 30th.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, that's just, I thought you said last week it was due on the 15th.
Mm. I know, but I had a conversation between now and then, and I think I was actually wrong. I think it's April 30th or 31st. Okay. I don't even... How many months are there this... Or days are there this month?
30.
I know.
Is there 30?
I always assume it's 31.
There's 30 because there's 31 in May. Okay. And there's no 31 behind back-to-back, right?
Okay. Okay. There we go. Now we know.
There's some moniker where, like, you count your fingers or something like that.
There's, it's like knuckles. It's like tip of your knuckle and then between your knuckle or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen somebody do it before, but I didn't remember.
Anyway, what have you been up to, Zach? What's going on, man?
Nothing too exciting today. I was recording some ad reads for videos. Yeah, I got a lot of parts in the mail for upcoming projects, but unfortunately I can't talk about them because they're under NDA. I have a, this has never happened. No, this has happened to me once before, but I have a sponsorship for a product that hasn't even been announced yet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me feel like a big wig.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So I got that in the mail today. Are you allowed to
talk about what space it's in? Is it in the tech space?
Yeah, I could say it's like tech related, techie.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
From a brand that we're aware of, or a brand you haven't heard of?
Most people would have heard of this brand, I think.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna allow me. It was one of those things where I had to like kind of pitch an idea. Okay. So, and I don't like generally doing videos like this where the product is part of the video or the brand or it's like actually part of the video. But this one, I was like, ooh, I could use that to allow me to do a project. So it was kind of fun in that regard. But normally when the brand actually wants to be part of the actual video, I usually say no.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel you. Did you end up getting all those batteries and stuff that you needed for your?
I did.
Portable
that video. That video is now done and ready to go. Nice. So that was the ad read that I was recording today to put on that video. But the whole thing's edited. Other than that, I'm just gonna drop that little chunk in there, send it off for approval.
Right on. Are you doing my game plan where you're a couple videos ahead now?
I'm trying to. I had it going for like a month and then I kind of fell behind. Now I've got like three or four videos that are in various stages of completion.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're working towards stuff, though.
I'm working towards stuff. I was also messing around with, speaking of upcoming projects, I was messing around with clear filaments on my 3D printer today. So I don't know if you could really call this...
Translucent.
Yeah, it's like white.
Yeah, it's maybe you can see it there a little bit better.
Oh, did you have two shells? So this is basically like a Game Boy shell, like the.
Yeah, I think I talked about this maybe last podcast or something. So this is like they like click together. It's like a front and a back.
Sure.
It's a little stringy, but yeah, it was interesting. I had this roll of bamboo, like it's polycarbonate in clear plastic. So I decided to print it out and see what it looked like. It's not bad, but it's like interesting. It's very interesting looking, but you see all the lines from the printing in it very clearly, which is, I don't know, not quite the aesthetic that I wanted for this project.
I would assume that would require a lot of post prep work.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you wanted it to, but I don't even, because some of these lines are inside of it, right? This is for people listening at home, the part that I'm holding up is maybe like a millimeter thick, so not very thick at all. No. But in the 3D printing world, that's probably like 5 to 7 layers of filament.
Right.
So even if you polish the surface, I think there would still be all these lines inside.
On the inside, right? Yeah.
So I don't even know that you could ever get this to look perfectly clear. I think it's you just kind of got to accept it for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, but once you have stuff inside of it, I think it'll be kind of similar to the Game Boys from the 90s that were kind of like those neon transparent, where they weren't really transparent, but you could still see that there was stuff inside of them. It might kind of be like that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'll, my plan for this video is to make the early versions of this at home, all the prototypes at home, and then I'm going to send off the files to be professionally 3D printed by somebody else, so that I can actually like show what that process is like. You know, what's the turnaround time? What kind of information do they need from you? So I'll be able to compare this versus, you know, the transparent plastic you'd get from ordering it from a professional place.
Now, how much more do you think it's going to cost to send it out?
So I've actually already sent one out with one company. I think I might do two companies and maybe do a little head-to-head thing with them. Okay. But I think, let me pull it up here. I ordered from a company called JLC PCB or JLPCB.
Is that the one that you did one of the sponsorships for?
No, I did. That's the other company that I'm going to try ordering from as well. JLC 3DP is the name of the company. Okay. And I think it was $40.
That's not bad.
Inclusive of shipping?
$60 with shipping and everything. Mm. Shipping was actually $32 and the printing itself was only $20. Well, it's coming from China, so. And I think I selected the fastest shipping option. I think there was a cheaper one.
And was that filament more expensive than a lot of other ones?
Yes, because it not only is it a more expensive, it's not filament, it'll be resin.
Okay.
And they'll do all the post-processing. So that fee actually includes a sanding and then an oil clear coat on top of it. So like $60 shipped, it's like, that's pretty dang reasonable.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I was chatting with one of our patrons, Chris Babick, and he was like, you know, I don't know if you guys have talked about it or whatever, but we do bring up 3D printing a lot on the show. And I think you've mentioned it, Derek, but it might have been in the after show that a lot of libraries actually have 3D printers that you can go use. Yeah. And how do they charge, Derek? What's their rate?
Usually it's just the price of the filament. Is typically how they do it. Like, there's no fee for anything but the filament. And then I want to say every time we've done it, and we've printed, like, I don't know, a little door that was a little bigger than my phone, but, you know, thin. And, like, a couple little characters that are, you know, just little couple inches big.
Like golf ball size.
And, and they were a couple bucks. I mean, they weren't that expensive at all. But, you know, they're not using the latest and greatest, but they're also not using like the cheapest thing. It's kind of like middle of the road printers, and it takes a while because you're in a queue behind a whole bunch of other people. So it's whenever they get to them, they get them done.
Do you actually have to go there and do it, or can you send them an email with a file and they just give you a call when it's done and you go pick it up?
You send them an email with the file, but they've actually got classes too, where you can go and you can learn 3D printing with them, and they'll kind of like show you, you know, how the basics of it and stuff like that, and you get to print a couple things while you're there.
Wow, I think that'd be a great resource for anybody who wanted to, you know, just make things occasionally, or even just
learn about them.
Yeah, just get your feet wet, get started with it. Yeah.
Because I mean, let's be honest, like even if you're gonna buy an entry-level printer or whatever, $500-$600, that's a lot of money for somebody to just throw out for disposable income for something they've never touched. Like, I certainly would not have spent $500 or $600 on just, huh, I'm kind of interested in this. Like,
yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money for me to spend on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're starting out, you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm really going to use this thing or not. Like, great way to just get started and see if the hobby's for you or if there's right. anything useful you could be making.
So the one of the other things that our patron Chris Bavick had mentioned was xometry.com. I think there are a lot of these websites where you can basically load your STL file to, which is basically like the 3D printed file type. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a million of these websites where you can load your STL file to, and they will basically print it for you and then mail it to you. And he yes. said that he was printing out a bunch of smaller stuff with shipping, and it was like $8 to $10 total. Like, that's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm just loading up my files on Xometry right now to see if they're any cheaper than.
Yeah. Let me know how much it ends up costing. But, and this is by no means a promotion for them whatsoever. But it's interesting that, like, there are always ways that you can get involved in hobbies without just going out and buying all the stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. you can go to those maker spaces instead of buying a saw stop or a planer or a bandsaw or whatever. Like, there's websites you can just have stuff printed out, so you don't have to buy all these expensive printers. There are always ways to do it, but it may not be the most convenient, but there are ways.
Yeah, totally.
Did it show up what it's going to cost on Xometry? Or is that Xometry, maybe?
Maybe it's Xometry. How do you select? Oh, man, this is okay. Give me a second. This is going to take me a little bit.
You're good. You know, I was gluing something up today, and I got a bunch of wood glue stuck in my arm hairs. That is the worst, man. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to get all that stuff out of there, you pick it off, and it's like, they'd say, like, taking a Band-Aid off.
But. Yeah. Oh. I would say Xometry is significantly more expensive than JLC PCB. Just one of my parts is showing as costing $60 to have them make it.
But everybody remember that this is like the resin thing, which is way more expensive than just printing and like filament.
And this is also clear resin, which is requires even more post-processing. If I go down to FDM, which is like the cheaper and more basic, and I want to make it an ABS, then it costs $24. So there's definitely some wiggle room. You could definitely get it done cheaper. And but I don't even know if that's
interesting to know that it's an option.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, like, or let's say for me, I don't want to buy a resin printer, but I have a filament one. So like, what if I make the model? I'm like, oh, boom, perfect. It's out of filament. And then I can send it off to get it made resin. And then like, boom.
Yeah. Money. That's exactly what I'm doing. Cause I got rid of my resin printer. It was taking up too much space.
Right.
And I was like, I'll just do all my prototypes on the FDM printer. And then I can send them off when I know they're perfect. And then have somebody do all the hard, crappy part for me.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you get to take credit for it in the video.
That's right.
So what else are you working on? You said you got some parts for a product that's not released yet.
So I want to kind of talk around that one a little bit. It was speaker parts I was getting. So I was getting so there's going to be an audio component to it, but there's also going to be much more. I can't say too much without kind of spoiling it.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. The Game Boy project, I'm well underway on that too. I'm probably about halfway through that.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Any huge stumbling points?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Game Boy project really pushed the limits on my soldering skills, and I ended up breaking quite a few parts. I was I bought this Game Boy to use as like the hardware for it, right? And then I broke something, and then I was like madly trying to look on Craigslist to see if there was anybody within like 10 kilometers of me that was selling another one that I could go buy. But then I realized I could actually fix the damage that I did by running a little wire. Anyways, it's a whole thing, but it's
going to be fun. In the video?
I think so. Yeah. It's always like, yeah, it's like, how many of your F-ups do you include in the video?
Dude, I know.
Before you just look completely incompetent?
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, yeah, people are very, I don't know. Some people.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, everybody was giving you hell about the glasses in that last one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's a separate issue, but who knows?
Yeah, that is what it is. So, yeah. Like, I know what you mean. Like, how many mess-ups do you include in the video? I've been working on this, what I'm calling the helix table, mm-hmm. right? The spinny one.
Yeah.
Dude.
Did you get more lumber for it?
I didn't get more lumber. What I ended up doing... So, to briefly summarize, there are compounding angles that you have to meet at miters and bevels. So it's not just like, oh, you make it a 45. It's these ridiculous degrees and all these things that have to line up and stuff. I messed it up 3 times because I wasn't reading the angular dimensions off of Fusion correct. Because when you look at something from an angle, right, it's straight on, the angle is correct. But if you look at an angle from another angle, that angular dimension actually changes from your perspective.
Yeah, I think
and it's so I guess, like, if you have a triangle like this, right, mm-hmm. this is like a, you know what, 60 degree angle, but then when I turn it to this way, your perception of that angle is now different than 60 degrees. So when I was trying to make these rough plans off of Fusion, I didn't have the pieces angled. So I'm at a straight on perspective with these cuts. So then when I would go to cut them on the table, so I'm like, why does this not work? Like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And anyways,
you didn't have Fusion mark out the angles for you on it, or were you doing like templating?
I did have Fusion mark out the angles for me, but the problem is in like the drawing workspace where it basically puts on like paper and whatnot. It's all about the perspective of how you were looking at that individual piece when it adds the dimensions on it.
It's interesting.
It's complicated to explain unless you've done it.
Yeah,
because it won't give you dimensions on, like, if you're in like a angled perspective or anything. Isometrics. Yeah,
it won't give you dimensions on isometric views. Only like the orthographic views. Yeah.
So how did you fix it, or how did you get the right angle?
So basically, I kept shrinking the project by making it smaller and smaller and smaller. And then when I was like, okay, I nailed it, I basically took some extra wood, glued it on the side to make these panels now larger, and then recut everything. Ended up working fine.
Okay.
But like, so in the video, I'm not going to show myself messing it up 4 times. I'm going to go, damn it, this didn't work. Then I just show you how I fixed it, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But... oh, dude, it is a nightmare. And I came inside. Well, yeah, actually, while I was out there, I was like, man, it's like smoky in here. And all of my cuts are burning like crazy.
I
brought my table saw blade in. Dude, uh-oh. Look how like dirty and like burnt stuff is on those teeth. It is black and just like charred stuff on there. I think this blade is ready to be sharpened because I actually had a bunch of burning, and I was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, pop it off and like clean it with all the stuff. It was sparkling clean. First cut, started burning again, which is means it's time to go.
Well, that or maybe the wood you're using has a lot of tension bound up in it, and then just as soon as you cut it, it's springing back into the blade, right? I've had that happen to me before.
Yeah
especially with walnut, right? You're making it out of walnut?
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I have finally got the center pieces of that Helix table glued it up. I was so pumped. And now I'll probably assemble the top and bottom on it. Or do you think it would make sense to carve the interior pieces before I put the top and bottom on? It might be easier to get to it.
Yeah, I don't know how involved you're planning on getting with the carving, but I would err on the side of giving yourself more access rather than less access, right?
Yeah. I think I really have no plan for the carving. I think it's just going to be a turn some music on and just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so you must have, like, dominoes in some of the connections, right?
I'm going to use dominoes to connect the top and the bottom, but I have no dominoes in, like, the panel glue-ups.
Oh, okay. So is it just a straight glue angular joint?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So
because I want to be able to, like, potentially carve around it.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to expose a domino or something.
Okay, so that was going to be my question. Do you have any sort of mitigation plan so that you don't accidentally reveal a domino? But I guess if you don't use a domino, then no problem.
And it's so big. Like, the glue surface is, like, because it's 1.5 or 1.75 inches thick material. When you cut that at like a 45 or a 38 degree, whatever the hell it was.
True.
Dude, yeah, it's like
2 inches.
2+ inches of surface area across, like, a 14 inch span. Like, that's a lot of glue surface. Like,
yeah,
I'm not really concerned about it.
Is it end grain to end grain?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess
that glue joint is so much stronger that I used to think end grain to end grain was no good. But recently I did some tests and it's like, it holds good.
Right. So. And how much force are you really ever exerting on an end table? Like, this isn't WWE SmackDown or somebody's jumping from the top ropes with the people's elbow. Like,
well, I don't know.
You never had kids.
You might lip off to Miranda sometime and she might just slam it over your head.
Pick it up. What did you say? Yeah. Oh, but yeah, so that
is a drunk girlfriend. Either one will do it.
No kidding. Or a college frat party or something. But
there you go.
It's finally glued up. I'm like, thank God. Because, dude, how long have I been working on it? It's been well over a week trying to do this, figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, there's been a lot going on. You know, I've been working on other things during that time as well. Other things,
too. Yeah, yeah. But, I don't know if you're curious, but I've been working with Voov Media to get my Facebook up and running.
Dude. So, tell me how it's going, Zach. I want to know, but I'm also pissed off.
Well, first of all, you're gonna be extremely jealous of the amount of money that I made so far. And
you sent me a text message. It was like 9 cents or something, right?
I think it was 6 cents, and I think I am now up to 20 cents, maybe.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, no. So I'm trying to bring it up now. Anyways, doesn't really matter. But it's up and running, and you know, even though I'm not making that much money, if I look at the metrics for my Facebook page prior to them starting versus now that they've started working on it, everything is up. I think my engagement was up 40,000% since they took over.
Well, how often were you putting things on Facebook?
Literally never. Like, so rarely.
Well, okay.
When I posted a new, it was connected to my Instagram account, which I also haven't been using. So basically the only thing that was going up lately was I have an automatic thing set up whenever I post a new YouTube video to, like, post the link to my Facebook page and say, hey, new video's out.
Huh. Okay.
But it's positive, and it's, you know, I'm liking the results I'm seeing so far, and it's been, I don't know, it's a positive experience, and it's kind of an interesting business avenue that I don't know that a lot of people necessarily know exists. I don't even know if we've really properly explained it on the show before, have we?
Facebook or the whole Voov thing?
Bits and pieces.
The whole Voov thing.
Yeah.
So I think
let's just talk about Facebook in general.
Okay. So many people may not know this, but you can actually monetize your videos on Facebook much the same way that you can on YouTube. Or, right. well, YouTube is the main one that everybody thinks about. They pay you per view or per thousand views. And the money can actually be pretty comparable to what you would earn on YouTube.
Right.
The caveat is that the format is different and also the audience is significantly different. So it's 4:3 aspect ratio videos, I believe. So not quite full widescreen, but not vertical content either. It's very weird in that regard. And also the audience doesn't really... People. Yeah, right. It's like most of the content is... not like long narrative pieces the way YouTube videos are. And most of the videos are kind of in that like 2 to 4 minute range, I would say. Maybe basically a little bit longer.
Brain numbing content.
Yeah, basically it's like designed to give you brain rot.
It's like early YouTube.
Oddly satisfying stuff.
And, you know, so I think Eric and I first heard about it from Brad Rodriguez from Fix This Build That. He was like, you guys got to get on here. You know, like, he was like, I made more 1 month from Facebook than I did from YouTube. Right. And I kind of kicked around the idea for a long time of doing it. I wanted to do it, but I just, you know, I realized at a certain point, I don't have the bandwidth to either do it myself or to even manage somebody else doing it, because there's like so much to learn about the platform. Right. So there's this company out there called Vuv Media, which will essentially take over your Facebook page. They'll cut all of the videos. They'll edit all the videos. They'll handle 100% of everything. And you come to some agreement with them where you split the revenue that it generates.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've had my first week or so, maybe not even a full week of being up and running with them. And, you know, it's great. It's, you know, it's kind of, it's a avenue, like a, I don't know, an aspect of the business that I never really considered doing before.
And it's something that's now off your plate.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You don't have to do this. So.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, if anyone that we're not, promoting them, this isn't a sponsor or whatever, like, do your due diligence before you sign with anyone. But the idea is you get a percentage of money from zero work for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And I originally thought, you know, like, oh, well, if I did it all myself, then I get to keep 100% of the money. But
that's true.
It was over a year that I knew that this... there was an opportunity there, and I never capitalized on it because I just couldn't find the time. So sometimes it just makes sense. Like, yeah, I know I'm hypothetically leaving money on the table by partnering with somebody else, but also I'm not really, because I know that I wasn't going to do it by myself.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And so people are, I think also there are listeners out there like, wait, so you're telling me, Zach, that someone else is just running your Facebook page? It's like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So people are like, well, that pisses me off. I only want to watch stuff that's made directly by you. It's like, I get that.
Do you think many people feel that way? I honestly don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I have no idea.
Maybe some of the listeners can...
I reached an understanding years ago that if the content is being cranked out on the regular, there's a good chance that there's either many chefs in the kitchen or they've become hands off altogether.
Right. I mean, honestly, you see some of these larger creators and the scale they're posting every single day on every single platform. You can't do that as a one man operation or one person operation.
Not effectively.
No. Well, yeah, I guess you could just, spam out really crap content, but...
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a great realization, Derek, and it took me a long time to get there myself. I had to do it. I thought I just sucked. I thought I was using my time really inefficiently. And I was like, oh, no, these people all have, like, big teams helping them behind the scenes.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, you think Oprah just shows up and then, like, presses record on the camera, then like runs back to
hands out a bunch of cars.
Yeah. There's thousands of people that help produce that, but they're just a face. So Zach, you're the face of the Zach Builds content, but you now have a team of folks that help with stuff, right? Like,
yeah. And I think that's part of becoming, you know, a more mature creator, or, you know, you realize you can't do everything. And I think all businesses end up at this realization at a certain point, is you can't, you know, you can't be the accountant, you can't be the marketer, you can't be the sales right. guy. You had to kind of hone in on what you're good at and then find other people to help support you.
Fill in the gaps.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because if you were trying to fill every single seat with you, you're going to kill yourself. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Burns you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know, like, I know what my strength is. My strength is creating the original content, you know, is like being the guy coming up with the ideas, doing the filming and doing right. the narration and all that stuff. Like, that's my strength.
You enjoy making the YouTube videos. You and I have talked about this. I don't enjoy making a 40-second vertical video.
Yeah, yeah.
Me personally, it's not fun.
Yeah.
But I have a blast making YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So why not pay? I mean, you're paying, but, you know, revenue share. Basically, pay someone else to do the work, and then they just get a portion of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
Yeah, and it's, I think it was maybe a little bit of a pride thing for me, like, oh, I'm sure I could figure this out myself. And it's like, yeah, but I didn't, so.
Right.
Yeah, right. Why not relinquish a little bit of control, let an expert handle it, and then focus on what I should be focusing on.
Yeah. I have a meeting with another company tomorrow
that
I'm trying to... They basically reached out to me. It's another one of these companies, but they were like, we have Facebook partners on staff, I kind of don't believe.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I mean, who knows what they mean by on staff, but
right. or partner,
yeah, right?
Or partner,
right,
yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, we have a very open contract. You can work with us for a month for free, no obligation. So what I'm going to do is talk to them tomorrow. I've already explained the whole situation about, like, you know, to briefly summarize my Facebook issue.
Yeah.
I have green check marks on everything saying, yep, you're eligible for in-stream ads, which is what pays the most on YouTube or Facebook, which is basically, you know, little ad pops up or whatever. That's how you make revenue. And then every single month on the 15th, every single month, I apply for in-stream ads. And like 3 days later, it says denied. The reason I'm being denied, policy issues. I click policy issues. It says you have no policy issues with green check marks. So it's just endless, like, you know, just hitting my head against the wall. So I've tried reaching out to other companies that allegedly have Facebook partners and to no avail. So I'm going to talk to this company tomorrow and basically say, I'll consider signing up with you, but you have to show me that you can, you know, solve a problem.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right.
I mean, if they have people on staff.
Do you think your problem maybe is rooted in whatever caused your Instagram issue?
That's like, what I was going to ask.
A year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah. I thought about that as well.
Because wasn't that an age thing? They thought you were, like, that your age got reset or something. They thought you were too young or something.
Yeah. My age got reset, so they thought I was under 13.
So maybe it thinks you're too young to monetize.
I don't know.
You should see if there's somewhere, like, in the Facebook Business Manager, if there's, like, a profile of you and your age.
Multiple places, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you've got, like, whenever I go to tag your Facebook page in the posts for the podcast, there are, like, three options that come whenever through the dropdown when I start typing in Spensley Design Co.
See, so, that's wild to me because I've heard people
same for say you, Zach.
But I go on there and I will try to search for another Spensley Design Co. page and I only find mine.
Yeah.
So, like,
so it's got, like, a ghost duplicate or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's weird. A nightmare. Long story short, I need someone at Facebook basically to solve this for me. Yeah. That's what I've been working on for over a year and a half now.
Have you tried the old trick of paying for an ad and then going through their customer support that way? For people at home who don't know, the only way to talk to a real human at Facebook, and it's maybe it's a real human, who knows, is to run an ad and then say that you're having a problem with the ad. Then you can talk to somebody or a bot or something, maybe.
It is so damn frustrating.
Yeah. What about your Meta Verified status? You try and use that? I know you can't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I did, and they basically just told me to kick sand.
Wow.
That's why I canceled the Meta Verified thing several months ago. I'm not paying them money for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, I thought you dropped it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, that's frustrating. I mean, well, you know, maybe we'll get it going. But I mean, there are a lot of big players in our space that use services that do this stuff to run their Facebook. Because like you said, Zach, it's a scaling thing. Like, you can't get bigger and still do it yourself. You have to hire people to do things for you.
Yeah, unfortunately. I wish there was more hours in the day, but I mean, I do and I don't. Do I want there to be more hours in the day just to kind of grind myself down on tasks that I don't really find that very much fun to do, you know?
No.
Well, everybody except for JCats, I hear he still does all of it himself.
Even his ad
reads. He actually has the same Facebook issue that I have.
Does he really?
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was talking to him about it. He said he had the exact same thing. He can't get monetized on there.
Oh, my God.
And he's just so, so frustrated with it, right? That's what it is. Hey, the other thing I wanted to talk about is you had mentioned earlier, I got the suit in the background, right?
Yes.
So, a wedding is in 11 days, man. 11 days. And so we're like, okay, we're going to get the suit things. Now, I heard a lot of people like do like the suit rentals at like Men's Warehouse or whatever, because you can like, it doesn't matter if you're on the same city, you just like go to a Men's Warehouse and you're like, oh, here's like the wedding. They're like, boop, boop, boop. It's color AQ7 or whatever. You know, everybody gets the same color, same size suit or whatever. But I've also heard like people of like horror stories, but you also hear horror stories from every company, right?
Yeah. So everything.
One of my buddies was like, hey, we, for the wedding that I was in like a year ago, we did this online thing. I'm like, what do you mean online thing? He goes, yeah, you literally like go online. You just like answer a couple questions and you throw some measurements in and whatnot. And they like send a suit to your house. I was like, all right. And if the groomsmen got theirs, like I think if four people got theirs, then mine was free or something like that. So,
okay.
I ordered mine in like December.
I didn't know it was that long ago.
Yeah, I didn't really read the fine print. And they don't send it to you until 2 weeks before the wedding. Well, I got it the other day. I put it on. And dude, I can't even like raise my arms up like to my chest level. It is so tight on the shoulders and stuff. And so I called
him. You worked out too much since you ordered.
It's right. Huge, right?
Yeah.
Jacked.
What's the episode of Seinfeld when Banya's, he's got the suit and he's like, ah, I used to be a 38. I got to wear a 40 now. I'm huge, Jerry. felt like that. So they're going to send me these extra pieces and I'm like, man, it's 11 days before the wedding and I still don't have the suit. Like, I wish they would have sent it to me like months ago and be like, yeah, okay, these are the sizes. Now send it back.
Yeah.
And then we'll resend it to you closer. But then I also get that's additional postage for them, which is cutting into their margins. But I'm like, man.
But you could have paid a couple bucks more. They could have worked that out. So how did it work with the measurements? Did you do measurements of yourself and then send them, or did you go somewhere and have them done?
You did it of yourself, and it was real basic. It was like, what's your inseam? How long are your arms? You know, what t-shirt size do you typically wear? What pants size do you typically wear? And then here's like here's like your chest measurement and then your waist measurement and like your neck measurement or whatever. Okay. You know, pretty easy, right? It's not like, okay, what's your shoulder to elbow? What's your elbow to wrist? What's your wrist circumference? What's your bicep circumference? It wasn't that level.
I think if you want a really well-fitted suit, I think those are the types of measurements you need. Yeah. And, you know, you can argue all day about whether you need, like, a super fitted suit. I guess it doesn't really matter that much at the end of the day. But I would think that they would err on the side of maybe being a little too big so you don't run into these scenarios where you can't move your arms.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always just had a disproportionate body. Like, I have a very small waist and just kind of like a broader chest and shoulder area that things kind of fit awkwardly on me.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I think the new suit's supposed to come tomorrow. Oh, and the pants, dude, they were like painted on my legs. And I got small legs. I couldn't sit down. I put them on, and Mandy's like, they look all right. She's like, they look good on your butt. And I go, I can't sit down. I was like, I'm going to rip these pants if I sit down.
Going to Hulk it.
Yeah.
But, they need to start making. Have you ever got a pair of those jeans that have like 3% elastic in them? They're really stretchy.
Dude, I don't think anyone should buy jeans that don't have some elastic in them anymore.
I know. It's the greatest thing in the world. Somebody needs to do that for suits or at least suit bottoms.
Dude,
they do. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
did I tell you guys I finally took your recommendation and I bought myself some Levi's jeans like you recommended?
Oh, you did. Yeah. Okay,
find your size,
dude. Way nicer than the Old Navy jeans I'd been buying.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Like,
you
got this. This is a nice pair of breeches. Ones.
Yeah.
They got a tiny amount of give to them, just the right amount of elastic. And yeah, it looked like a good pair of jeans. I got compliments on them from my grandmother.
Ooh, nice. I know she's tough with the compliments. Hard to please her. So.
Yeah. You know, when grandma's 89, when, you know, when she's thinking something, she's going to tell you. She said, a really nice pair of black.
Well, good. I'm happy. Which ones did you end up getting?
What ones?
Yeah, like what number? You know how Levi's have numbers?
Look, I got two styles. I got what I would consider a date night style, which is like a little bit more like formal, a little more form-fitting, and then kind of an everyday, like, you know, working in the garage kind of style, right?
Okay.
You got to have a little best of both worlds. I got the order details
501s and 505s.
I got my guess 512 and 511.
Okay, those are the ones I usually wear.
Zach and I got the same pants.
That's right. Well, we're tall boys, we got long legs.
yeah, really. That could be a possible show title. Pants.
The one where they find out they're tall boys.
Yeah, huh? But dude, so the wedding, it's 11 days away. So excited. And I'm also just so over having to plan this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been fun, but I'm just like, I'm done, man.
Does the planning get more intense as you get closer to the day, or is it backloaded? Like, do you front load the planning and then it's just like little things as you get closer to?
So from a male's perspective, at the beginning, there was so many things I can be like, oh, yeah, I can knock that out. Oh, yeah, I can knock that out. No problem. Now I know we have a bunch to do, but it's all small things that I have no idea.
Yeah.
She's like, well, we need a basket for this. I'm like, well, what kind of basket? I'll go get a basket. She's like, well, no, but it has to be gold, and then it has to be this. And I'm like, I can help, but like, I don't know. You got to give me some direction. Basically.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where I am no longer helpful, but I know that there's stuff that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just kind of hanging out. Like, she's with the girls tonight, you know, girls wine night, planning all this stuff. Just gonna come home all stressed out, and I'm be like, I was just hanging, man. But yeah, I don't know.
You should find you got to find something to get stressed out about. You need to make like your mark on this wedding.
That's right.
You know,
she goes, yeah, what's Groomzilla's your plan thing for Saturday, like before the wedding? And I was like, I don't know. Guys, now I'll probably go get some breakfast, get some lunch, maybe check something out, and then come back to the hotel and get changed.
Are you going to do the classic?
Right.
Are you going to do the classic move of not see her the day of until the big moment?
Yes, she wants to do that. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So, I like that.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited. But
yeah,
she's just like, well, where are you guys going to go for breakfast? I said, I don't know. Who's driving? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Tell her McDonald's and Uber.
Right. It's like, what does it matter? Like, we're men. We'll figure it out, right? Like, where are we going to go for lunch?
Legs and eggs.
I have no idea.
Legs and eggs. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Something about being a dude aquarium. It's like the planning of stuff doesn't need to be that nailed down for me.
No.
Yeah.
She goes, what socks are you going to wear? I said, I have no idea.
Black ones.
Probably figure it out the day of.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. She's great. Yeah. But it's you know, it's the wedding brain of, I got to think about this and this and that. And it'll be fine.
Look, I get it. There's a lot of decisions to be made.
Yeah.
But
yeah. We got all kinds of stuff packed up in here. But
check the bottoms of your shoes. Because my aunt shared a story with us about her brother's wedding. Mm-hmm. And what she did is she went in and she took the bottoms of his shoes and she wrote, help me. So whenever he knelt down before his bride, his shoes shone and it just said, help me. And everybody was just roaring in laughter.
Wait, when do you have to kneel down? I don't even know.
It depends on the type of wedding you're having.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'm kneeling at any point. I should probably ask that.
Maybe, I don't know. It depends on maybe the dance you're going to do, too.
Do you dance? You guys dance? I hate dancing.
I've never danced.
No. Did you dance at your wedding, Derek?
No, we got married on a beach. There was dancing.
Nice. Can't dance in the sand. That's a great little loophole. No.
Yeah. How's your wedding planning going, Zach?
You know, it's going.
You still doing Italy?
We are, but we're actually now thinking that we might push it back so that more people can come. Some of our key players weren't able to make it for the dates that we were thinking. So we're now exploring the idea of doing it in the spring instead of doing it in the fall.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You got more time to delay.
Yeah, well, more time to plan too. The other thing was, I was like, "Whoa, September's coming up quick."
Yeah. It was the engagement. Was it a good story?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was very us. It was like there was no like, you know, I didn't rent out the stadium and have a bunch of videographers or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. It was nice and intimate.
Nice.
The way I like it. Yeah.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah,
see, I'm going to finish up my wedding stuff, and then you're going to have all the wedding planning stuff. And
well, that's how it has to be, because one of us has to still be here to keep the show running.
Oh, I know. Well, it's going to be, we're going to have, in May? I'm gone for 3 weeks or whatever.
I know. Could you imagine if we synced up our weddings? It'd be pandemonium.
That would have been nuts. It would have been like For the Gram podcast where they just go for a month, like a lull month forever and ever. But
do you think if we didn't have a regular set schedule that we would ever record?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, oh, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work tonight. And then I'll be like, 6:50. I got to get on the computer.
Yeah,
let's do it. We always have a great time. Like, you know,
I always do.
Everybody I've talked to, everybody I've talked to about podcasting, if they don't have a schedule, they are inconsistent about getting it out. And everybody that has a schedule is consistent about getting it out, which is the key, I think.
Like Green Suitors always does Monday at 5:30. No exceptions.
Yeah. I think No Exceptions is good, especially, I don't know, maybe there are some people out there who can be disciplined enough to not have a set schedule, but still maintain some level of consistency in terms of output. But I know myself, and if I don't have a set day to do it, I'll just kick the can down the road and never do it.
Oh, yeah.
Much like editing my own Facebook content. So
master procrastinators.
Yeah. So I think that there's an element of, you know, running your own business, of just knowing yourself, right? Like knowing what you'll do and what you won't do. And it's, you know, it's kind of eye opening. And you don't necessarily realize a lot of these things when you're just working for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what we shouldn't procrastinate on?
The after show.
After show.
I said it like that. That was weird.
We're going to head over to the after show. And you know what I was thinking? Should we haven't done this in a while. Oh. Should we give this after show out for free?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Let's do a little teaser one.
Yeah. So,
but then we have to watch what we show, say. Huh? Can't say anything too, we can't say anything too scandalous in this one, though, because some of the after shows get kind of raunchy.
Yeah.
No burning any businesses or anything?
No. Airing of grievances will be light if we have any grievances to air. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So if you want to check out the free after show this week, go to patreon.com/offthegutpodcast. It'll be over there. And then afterwards, you sign up to become a patron so that you can get all of the other after shows.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Wait for this. There's literally hundreds of them. Hundreds of bonus episodes.
Yeah. Did y'all start after show on episode one?
I have no idea.
I think we did.
Yeah. I don't think our original 000 had an after show, but I think episode one.
001 did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's where we're going to be. And we will see you over there because it's free this week. So see you.
See you, everybody.
Later.